Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
The rocket's red glare. The bombs bursting in air. Give proof that it's the 4th of July. But on the 5th, when it's cleanup time, there are environmental costs to be accounted for. Living on Earth's Ike Srishkandaraja investigates the chemistry of fireworks and what happens when they fall back to Earth.
Watch this.
Yeah!
All right. That's one. Go.
Earth!
This fireworks show in Petersburg, Alaska, sounds like hundreds, maybe thousands, happening over the 4th of July weekend. It's the one time each year the whole country celebrates with rockets and bombs. While most of us ooh and ah at the dazzling pyrotechnics in the sky, a few environmentalists, like Marco Gonzalez from San Diego, complain.
Every time I've gone to a show that's been near habitat, it's just grated on me. The noise, the light, the cloud of smoke. It just hasn't made sense that nobody looks at these because they're on a holiday.
Gonzalez is the lawyer for the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation, or CERF. For a decade, he's been suing to make fireworks shows accountable for their environmental impact. This year, he won. A judge ruled the San Diego and La Jolla fireworks violate the California Environmental Quality Act.
The reason we focused on La Jolla is because it's a very pristine and very protected marine habitat. You're not allowed to fish. You're not allowed to even take boats or anything into these areas. And yet, once a year, we shoot off hundreds of pounds of fireworks that drop directly into these highly protected areas.
It was the first time in the country that a court ruled a fireworks show near water needed an environmental impact report. Then, on June 3rd, the judge granted a stay on the ruling so the show in La Jolla could go on. This legal battle in California is typical of the yearly tug-of-war between environmentalists and pyrophiles, a fight that the eco-blog Tree Hugger calls the annual wine. But firework makers have their own green heritage. The Pyrotechnic Guild International's mascot is a firework-wielding green man dressed in leaves. Mike Swisher, a licensed firework manufacturer in Minnesota, says the guild's tree-hugging slogan, "Stay Green," is just a coincidence.
I certainly don't think it was originally intended that way. The Green Man is taken from a book called The Mysteries of Nature and Art, published in 1635 by John Bate. In fact, there have been some misunderstandings about fireworks and the environment.
Where pyrotechnicians see misunderstanding, environmentalists like Gonzalez see smoke and obscurity.
A lot of people don't know what goes into fireworks, what makes those bright lights, and what really falls down once they explode.
But Swisher does know. That rocket's red glare?
Typical ingredients for that would be 60% potassium chlorate, 20% strontium carbonate, 15% resin like red gum or shellac, and 5% of dextrin.
And those bombs bursting in air?
That's a salute. Those are created with a material called flash powder, and that's usually a mixture of some oxidizer with powdered aluminum.
If enough metals like aluminum fall into the water, they could be eaten by small fish and work their way up the food chain. That could be toxic in fish eaten by humans. And the most common oxidizer is perchlorate. That can cause thyroid problems in high enough quantities. But Swisher says there aren't enough active ingredients to do damage.
If you were to look at the gross weight of fireworks used in a fireworks display, about half of that is inert. In other words, it's paper or string. If you were using, let us say, 500 pounds of fireworks, 250 pounds of that is not even going to enter into the chemical reaction.
The EPA mostly has no problem with fireworks, and most Americans love them. But Marco Gonzalez is fine being the black cloud trying to rain on the 4th of July parade. He has his own plans for Independence Day.
I'll actually be in La Jolla taking water samples. The way we view this is it's a war, and there's a lot of battles, and there's a lot of battlegrounds. So I think in 10 years, will we have a lot more data about the impacts of fireworks as a result of our efforts today? Absolutely.
Meanwhile, the rest of the country will enjoy the fireworks.
Go as fast as you can.
Go.
For Living on Earth, I'm Ike Srishkandaraja.
Finale, kids.
Coming up, landscape architect Frederick Law Olmsted used all the tricks in the trade that he invented to transform a desolate swamp into New York Central Park.
Frederick Law Olmsted was an illusionist. He was also a brilliant mind who people said could think and see in terms of decades. So as little saplings were being put in, he could actually envision what they would look like 10 or 20 or even 30 years later.
Now, a century and a half later, we meet the man who's counted almost every tree in Central Park. Stay tuned. It's Living on Earth.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change, and the Sierra Club, helping students, workers, entrepreneurs, and families create a healthy and prosperous clean energy future. Online at sierraclub.org/livingonearth. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.